There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Third and final hour of The Grill, live here from Barasti, up here on the rooftop garden, down here at Barasti. Ordinarily, around about this time, we'd be bringing you live scores aplenty. But on the occasion of Euro 2020 qualifying, there aren't many games live at the moment. You're going to have to wait until around about 9 o'clock this evening. Republic of Ireland will be on the big screen down here at Barasti as they take on Gibraltar. Rugby comes a bit sooner, though. We've got rugby getting underway at 7 o'clock in the Gallagher Prem, amongst others.
Yeah, we have four matches in the English Premiership this afternoon, Tom. 7 p.m. starts for Bristol hosting Worcester Warriors. Gloucester, your beloved Gloucester, in fourth, flying high in the Premiership. They're at home to Wasps. Saracens take on Harlequins. That's a big match. That's Saracens in second, taking on third place
London
Harlequins.
Derby,
London derby there. And then at 9:30, the late kickoff is Newcastle Falcons taking on Sale. Four matches also in the Pro 14.
I'll let you get on to those. Just want to let people know about last night as well over in the Gallagher Prem, because free-flowing Northampton Saints took the East Midlands Derby honours with a dominant 29-15 win over Leicester. Tom Collins scored two first-half tries for the visitors as they built up a winning lead following Mike Williams's yellow card at Welford Road. Saints scrum half Cobus Reinach was also instrumental in the first half, scoring the first try after just 5 minutes. Dan Bigger kicked 14 points for the Saints. Leicester's two late tries coming from George Ford and Tom Young. So a lot of the internationals back on club duty. It finished at Leicester 15, Northampton 29. Problems mounting for Leicester with another home defeat.
Yeah, indeed. There was also Pro 14 matches today. Four matches, in fact. There were some games last night. Tom, wins for Cardiff Blues, Connacht and Edinburgh. And later on this evening, Ospreys will host the Dragons in the Welsh Derby. I'm not sure how many of those players were backing up last weekend or fully recovered from the celebrations. Ulster will take on the Southern Kings from South Africa. Glasgow Warriors are at home to the Cheetahs, also from South Africa. And Munster at home to Zebrees there. Also, Super Rugby taking place. One live match currently in Pretoria. And it's the Chiefs who have been woeful for the season to date. Pretty terrible stuff from the Chiefs from New Zealand. But they, after half-time, are dominating the Bulls 29-6, 3-1.
It's myself, Tom Urquhart, Mark Archer. We've got Owe Sharp with us as well. And it's a blessing to have Owe with us here today. He's a man who played five seasons in the IPL to add to his countless England caps in all formats of the international game. And, of course, an illustrious county career back in the United Kingdom as well. We've been talking IPL, asking people for their predictions and all things. When does the first game get underway, Archie?
In about 20 minutes' time.
Okay.
It's in Chennai. It's the Chennai Super Kings taking on the Royal Challengers Bangalore. I can tell you there has been a toss. The toss has been won by Chennai, who have chosen to field first. They're going to have a bowl. So that's what's all happening. 6:30, of course, Chennai Super Kings. We associate the MS Dhoni's been a stalwart since for the for the many years of that side. It's been well coached by Stephen Fleming. The Fleming Dhoni axis has always been that leadership model there. That's worked really well for Chennai. Chennai like to keep a pretty consistent team year to year. They don't change. They seem to be a pretty solid outfit. And Royal Challengers Bangalore class, of course, have the star power of Virat Kohli. So always two of the big teams, the big franchises, big names between Chennai and Bangalore starting off this year's IPL.
Yeah, I think in terms of the name and the branding, yes, they're big, but RCB are not very big when it comes to actually turning out the performances. You know, they've always had some class act batters. I mean, ABD, you've got Virat Kohli.
Chris Gayle was there. Brendan McCullum was there for a short period of time.
Yes, all these guys. Shane Watson was there not long ago. But they've always come up short to deliver, to go on and win the competition. But then you go on to, obviously, Chennai. Now, they are a proper franchise. They know how to win, and they are a huge brand. And they're reigning champions, and obviously, you know, you've got the class of MS Dhoni. But what I love about them is their balance of the squad. They've got the likes of Bravo, who plays those conditions unbelievably well. He has, since he's come to Chennai, his performance has been outrageously good. And obviously MS Dhoni obviously performs for them, but I think last year's final was won really solely down to Shane Watson. I think he got 100 in that final. I think he injured himself, if I'm not mistaken, and he ended up thinking, you know what, I'm injured here, let me have a little go here. And he came off really, really well. He ended up obviously winning the final for Chennai Super Kings. But I love the balance of their squad. They've got some good Indian cricketers, Raina in the batting, They got Sharma with the ball, who's very dangerous. And they just look a better balanced team in the competition compared to, RCB, who are very batting heavy. But I don't know how good their bowling's going to be.
Yeah, they look like a class outfit. Some of the players we haven't talked about, Radeyu, talented player. Yeah. Of course, there's Suresh Raina, as talented as anyone in the short forms of the game. Looking through it, Dwayne Bravo, you talked about. Harbhajan Singh.
I know.
So they've got Imran Tahir. So they've got lots of options, either bowling spin, seam up, depth of balance. They've left some top players out of that lineup as well. So, and they're extremely well coached. Stephen Fleming's got a reputation of being a great man manager, great tactician, and he's done a great job. Let's have a quick listen to Stephen Fleming talking about his season's CSK lineup.
First game up, it's we're still trying to learn about the surface. Yes, traditionally there's a bit of turn there. It does look dry, so how much pace is in there will be a question. We'll still have to learn about it as well. We played earlier in the week, but the nature of the surface has changed. So even though it's a home game, it still takes a little bit of time to understand the home conditions. Yeah, it is important. So there's a real emphasis on starting the tournament well. Last year we won a couple of games that could have easily gone the other way, but it did a lot for the team as we were getting back together. So we know the importance of a good start in the IPL. There's no extra pressure on the game. It's just that you want to start a tournament well and get into the rhythms of playing well. So that's what we'll concentrate on. We're certainly not desperate to win the first game and it being at home. It's just an opportunity that we look forward to. And Geddy's a big loss. He was the find of last year for us, and he bowled very well, and we were looking forward to having him for a majority of the tournament. It's one of those things. We've got a squad that can cover it, but sometimes players are a little bit special and do some things that we really value, and he was one of those. So the onus just goes on the other players and overseas options. We're taking our time with a replacement at the moment just to look at the balance of our side and an area that we can improve, or a player that we want to fit into the game plan that we finish on. The game plan you start with isn't always the one that you finish up with. So we're taking our time with it and making sure we make a measured decision. Well, one man doesn't win the IPL. It's a very tough competition to win, and it's getting tougher because teams are a lot smarter. Just because you're probably the best batter in the world, one of the best players in the world, it doesn't mean that he's going to have success with the IPL. There's a number of things that go towards it. One thing I do know about Virat is when there's a challenge put in front of him, most times he meets it. So his expectation with this team will be to give it a good run, I'm sure, as most other franchises will be wanting. But it's winning competitions is a byproduct of how your team goes and leading your team. So there's a challenge there. And part of the batsmanship that certainly my era and before was about reading bowlers and watching the ball. Now it's a little bit more about power. Wrist spinners got clever as well. They play a role where the batsman has to be aggressive, and so they can't just be sat on. So players have to take a risk. So again, look at back before T20, you could take your time with wrist spin. Now you've got to be aggressive, and if the ball, you aren't sure either way, then it can be your downfall. So they're effective because they go both ways and can hit both outside edges of the bat. And caught on the boundary or deceived through the air is their major weapon. So they've got very smart with it. And I don't see it changing quickly either. I think it's they're good weapons to have. Well, experience counts in our camp. And we bought, as you guys said last year, a very old side. But prefer to look at it as an experienced side because recall does count. And being able to stand up to pressure situations and recall how you dealt with them in the past is a key component in a fast-moving game. Our players are still very skillful, but that experience to us counts.
Flem's been amazing in this tournament, hasn't he? I mean, obviously a class player during his playing career, but he's really taken to the coaching side of things, not just in IPL, where he's been a fixture for many seasons, pretty much from the beginning, but also his worth and his value has gone up as a manager coach for other franchises worldwide.
Yeah, he's been in the Big Bash League, I think, with Brisbane for a couple of years, or Melbourne. I can't remember where Melbourne, and he's done pretty well. I think he's not going to do the be there next year, but he's one of those guys that will always be in demand if he wants to take on more responsibility or national team jobs or go to franchises. If he puts his hands up, he'll probably get picked up quite quickly, but I think he's happy doing his stints in the IPL and other business interests. But yeah, he's done well. I grew up playing a lot of cricket with Flem, and he's always come across as a very mature and thoughtful cricketer and a talented guy, easy on the eye to watch when he batted, but incredibly good leader as well of men, and he seems to be he's got the right balance between being a good team management type guy that pulls the right strings of the right players to get them playing the best, and then has a good tactical nous as well. So he's kind of got the balance without being too over technical, etc. So yeah, Oase, you come across Flem in your time?
Yeah, I did. He captained Middlesex when I was there, and you're dead right. I think he reads the game very well. And one thing that's really outstanding about Stephen Fleming, which I would only say goes to another guy of all the cricket I've played and I've experienced, is the fact that when he speaks, you actually listen. That is a skill that a coach needs. I've played a lot of cricket, as you've reeled off all the teams that I've played for. I would say two guys. One guy, Adam Holyoake, when he spoke, he was my England A captain. We toured Australia. When he spoke, the whole team listened. And you would do anything for that guy. And Stephen Fleming was the second. He's the only other guy. And I remember him giving a speech to us, the Middlesex team, in Durham. And I'm not going to tell you what happened. But after the speech, I remember walking down towards into the ground. And a couple of guys were going, "Did you hear him speak? Oh, my God. Is that how you're supposed to speak as a captain?" It was ridiculous. We were like, hairs at the back of your neck stand up, that kind of stuff. And he was just talking simply, you know, we're going to do this, da, da, da. But how he spoke, wow, it was unbelievable. And he's got that gift. And obviously, it's a gift that a coach, I mean, wow, it's a perfect gift to have if you're going to be into coaching. But he reads the game really well. He speaks very well. And it doesn't separate. And another thing, he doesn't panic. He's not a panicker. And you can see by the fact that this team does not chop and change their team that often. If they could, they might lose the odd game here and there. It doesn't matter. They believe in the 11 that they think are good enough to go on and win the competition. And then they will generally may tinker the odd player here and there. And and it shows that they won, I think, three titles. I think they won IPL three times. Mm. And yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
And they're a team that's perennially always in the top four. They're there or thereabouts. They consistently perform. If they're not in the final, they're in the elimination series. So they've done well. On the other hand, the team they're playing against, RCB, Virat Kohli, got some big names there. AB de Villiers, they don't come bigger than those two in batting and world cricket. But here's a team that's, it's fair to say, underachieved. Virat Kohli was asked during the week, you know, do you think your record or your poor record with RCB is going to sort of damage his legacy as a player? And this is what he had to say about that.
Obviously, you want to win when you play the IPL, but look, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't care about whether I'm going to be judged on this or not, or, you know, there's no real sort of parameters that you set. Okay, you tick all the boxes. I try to perform wherever I can. You try to win all the titles possible, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. And I've mentioned as well, we have to be practical about why we haven't won, and that's boiled down to bad decision making in pressure situations. And that's pretty much it. If I think like people on the outside, I can't sustain even five games, I'd be sitting at home. So yeah, look, I know people talk about this a lot and they like to, you know, just grab opportunities of talking about this thing, but I'm doing a responsibility here, and given a chance, like any other captain, I would love to win the IPL as well for my team, and we all are motivated to do so. It's not happened, that's the reality, and there are no excuses for that. There's only acceptance of the faults that we made in the past, but the fact that we played six semi-finals and ahead means that we have been a side that's always in the contention. So these three finals, three semi-finals, and if we make better decisions, maybe we can go further than that. And that's how I see things.
Interesting watching some of the advertising coming out of the IPL 2019. No shortage of advertising, specifically over in India, but globally as well. But a lot of the Indian advertising for this one is this Dhoni versus Kohli.
Big rivalry.
Yeah, they're really sort of building it up at the moment. A bit of a grudge. I'm sure it's not much of a
grudge.
Probably
best mates, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But it's quite nice to have that, isn't it? Because we get so used to seeing them in the same team together, and two wonderful men to have in your team and leading your nation wherever. But nice to see them go up against each other.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, it's mouth-watering stuff. I mean, you've got Virat Kohli, one of the, in my view, the best player in the world, up against MS Dhoni, one of the best finishers in the world, although I would say in the last maybe 12 months, he's not quite on the mark, MS Dhoni, for India, you know, where he used to finish games off. So that'll be quite interesting, because I think in the past, Chennai have relied on MS Dhoni bringing them home at the end, winning games that they think, okay, we might be in a losing situation. But he sort of somehow has got that ability to win games, especially at the Chennai home ground. I think the Chidambaram Stadium is called. I mean, he's won a lot of games there and really turned it around. Now, if he's not quite on song this summer, it'd be interesting how the Chennai Super Kings perform.
Do send your thoughts through on this year's IPL 2019, about to get underway in about the next 13 minutes or so. The toss has been completed ahead of the first game. We'll have updates in the final half hour of the show.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hop lunch combo.
So, we are getting ready for the first game of IPL 2019. It's getting underway in around about 10 minutes. Mark Archer, who does it feature?
Yes, indeed. It's taking place in Chennai, and it's the reigning defending champions of the IPL, the Chennai Super Kings, led well by MS Dhoni, taking on the Royal Challengers Bangalore, captained by Virat Kohli. I can tell you that Chennai have won the toss. They've elected to have a little bowl first, so they will chase the score. Obviously, RCB packed with batting. Virat Kohli, AB de Villiers will about strutting their stuff very shortly. So it's about to get underway in about 10 minutes' time.
We've heard from the Chennai Super Kings, so we've heard about their chances going into the 2019 season. What about RCB? Haven't had it all their own way in previous seasons. Is 2019 going to be their year?
What's the challenge going to be like for the Royal Challengers Bangalore in IPL 2019? Strengths, weaknesses, players to watch out for, the ideal 11s of Sanjay Manjrekar and Brad Hodge, as well as where this team under Virat Kohli is likely to finish this year. Perennial underachievers, you think, RCB. So let's have a look at their team first and see if that oozes any confidence. So much, as always, depends on Virat Kohli. Otherwise, the rest of that, Shimran Hetmyer will be the only highlight attraction when it comes to overseas players, along with AB de Villiers. And there is otherwise not much to see there. Gurkirat Singh, Devdutt Parikkal, Milind Kumar, Himmat Singh, Akashdeep Nath are all the Indian reserve batsmen they've got. Heinrich Klassen, also an option for someone to take the gloves. And Parthiv Patel, who was an IPL veteran in his own right. Moeen Ali, Colin de Grandem and Marcus Stoinis, who was traded before the IPL auction, are part of the overseas all-rounders contingent. Pawan Negi, Washington Sundar and the Mumbai all-rounder Shivam Dubey, who went for big money at the auction. As far as the bowlers go, Yuzvendra Chahal is usually the lead wrist spinner that they have. Mohammad Siraj, Umesh Yadav was excellent in IPL 2018. They'll have to probably pick between Nathan Coulter-Nile and Tim Southee for the overseas seamer. Reserve Indian seam options include Navdeep Saini and Kulwant Khajrolia, the left armer. Right, let's go to you, Brad Hodge. How does this team shape up for you in comparison to some of the others? Are you finding any apparent weaknesses there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few weaknesses. They've always been a top-heavy side. I mean, the strengths are Kohli and ABD, two of the best batsmen in the competition. There's no doubt about that. But always their middle to back end batting units always struggled. So a lot of reliance on their top. Their death bowling has a few issues. I mean, Umesh Yadav has been great at the top, but yeah, death bowling, they're extremely expensive, up around 11, 12 and over. And maybe that has to do with the ground as well. But Yeah, there's a lot of reliance on the top couple of batters to get the job done in this unit. So if they don't have a good season, I think, they could be in trouble.
You agree with that?
No, slightly different view. I agree. I mean, for a long time, it's been cream at the top and nothing after that. This time round, it's a little different. A couple of things have changed with RCB. One, the pitch at Chinnaswamy Stadium, it's changed, and there is a little bit of turn now for spinners. So Chahal might make more of an impact. The other thing is the partnership of Vittori and Virat Kohli is now over. And if at all there's anybody who will get Virat Kohli to do something that he doesn't want to, it could be Ashish Nehra. So let's hope, you know, that comes into play. I think RCB's strength is going to be the number of all-rounders that they have. Stoinis, I think Virat Kohli has fallen in love with Stoinis. I like him too. He's not your bits and pieces player. He's a proper batsman who bowls really well. Then you've got Grandom, who's getting some runs for New Zealand. Kultanile and the good-looking Shivam Dubey.
Ah, so it's a good-looking Shivam Dubey part of your X-Factor players to watch out for?
X-Factor for bringing the crowds in. But these four all-round options, I think, is going to be the deciding factor for RCB. So it's not just about AB and Virat, because these are all pretty decent players. So you'll never feel that after these two are gone that there's no batting left now, because there's still Stoinis to come. There's
so Stoinis one of those X factors for you?
Starts very slow, but in the end, I mean, he can get to 10-11 runs and over.
Okay, Audrey's obviously coming at the back of a lot of time spent here, Marcus Stoinis, and the fact that he's played a lot of IPL cricket, you'd know in his own right. Is he part of your X factor lot?
No, he's not. I think he's had a great summer. There's no doubt about that. But I wouldn't say he's in the Andre Russell X-Factor category in terms of all-rounders. I've gone for Hetimaya. I've put him in the 11. I think he'll be a really dangerous left-hander at Chinnaswamy Stadium. This guy's got a serious strike rate. He's getting better and better as time goes on. So he's only a youngster, but... yeah, he's played some amazing knocks for not only his country, but also in the CPL as well. So I expect big things for him this year.
Okay, let's have a look at Sanjay Manjrekar's playing 11. And while Shimran Hetmeyer is somebody that Brad Hodges picked as his X-Factor player, I'll be curious to see where Sanjay bats him in his 11. And the answer to that is he bats him at number 12,
yeah,
because
I
he's not part
the
of
way
the 11.
You were going, yeah. Just trying to drop a bombshell and make me look a little.
AB de Villiers and Virat Kohli up top. So Sanjay puts his best two batsmen to open for RCB. Stoinis at 3. Gurkirat Singh, Shivam Dubey, Colin de Grandom, Nathan Kultanai, and Akshdeep Nath as the wicket keeping option.
Yeah, as the keeper, not the batsman.
Yes. Umesh Yadav, Mohammad Siraj, and Yuzvendra Chahal. No Hetmeyer for you, Sanjay.
So. If Hetmeyer comes in, I have to get rid of one of the foreign players. You know, that is the thing with the foreign players. Not so much about their ability. It's about them beating the competition within the team.
Yeah.
So do I want to get rid of Kultanile as a foreign player to get Hetmeyer in? No. Colin de Grandom, his recent form, you know, has gone in favour. Yeah. We'll give you a couple of overs as well. So no, not for him as well. And Stoinis, I like Stoinis because he's not your bits and pieces player. If there are a couple of wickets lost early, Stoinis can come in and play till the 15-16. That then he's got the big game as well. And AB de Villiers, would I drop him for Hetmeyer?
Let's have a look at Brad Hodges' 11, and I'm sure Shimran Hetmeyer will find room there, given Hodges picked him as the player to watch out for RCB. My guess is it would be for somebody like Colin de Grandom. So let's have a quick look. That's an interesting batting lineup now, Hodges. You've split Kohli and AB. You don't want them at the top. You've had Washington Sundar there as a possible left field opening choice to partner Virat Kohli. And you've gone for your two Aussie boys in Stoinis and Kultanile. No other changes. You've also gone for Akashdeep Nath as the keeper. But thoughts on why you've gone for that interesting choice of Washington Sundar up top with AB at 4?
Look, it was tough to actually find another opener in that scenario. So I thought that Washington Sundar had done it a couple of times and done it quite successfully. He's done it in Tamil Nadu Premier League as well. So he's got the pedigree. The other thing was I thought with ABD there, it just lengthens their batting unit a little bit. Given that Hetimaya is a bit of an unknown in the IPL so far, I thought that, you know, if you stretch that out a fraction, you know, that ABD is in the sheds. And if you get off to a good start, you know, anything's possible. So I've gone back to their old recipe, which was sort of successful with, you know, Gale, ABD and Kohli, with those three sort of banking on the top four. There's someone else chucked in there and anything's possible.
Neither of you interested in Parthiv Patel if you were looking for an opening bat and maybe someone to take the gloves, Hodgie?
No, look, I feel that he's serviceable, Bharti Patel, and he's a good contributor, but I don't think he's a match winner as well. So in the IPL, there's so many match winners stacked in most teams. I don't think that access on that good wicket, Bharti finds a spot.
You neither, you two? So much IPL experience for him. There's a drop for you at the top. No room for him even ahead of Akash Deepnath.
No, if I'm picking a likable 11, a guy that I like when I meet and...
Yeah, say no more. Where's this team going to finish for you?
If RCB get into the final four, it will not be so much about Virat Kohli and AB de Villiers, because they have been there for years and nothing's happened. It will be that core, the middle order, the all-rounders who might just make the difference. So,
do you have them making the top four though, if they do perform?
No, not from here, but because things have changed, the pitch has changed, the coaching has changed, and this group of all-rounders, I'll just maybe back them to get into the final four.
Haji?
No, I haven't got them featuring in the top four, unfortunately, for RCB. I think they're just too many changes. I think they'll take a little bit of time to understand their roles and playing future. So I think it'll just be a little bit of an unknown for the RCB this year.
Very well. Time will tell for Virat Kohli and his team. This was the RCB preview, season preview for IPL 2019.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hop lunch combo.
Cheers, Randy. Thanks so much indeed. And thanks to all the team down here at Barasti for keeping us on air and entertained. We are broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here at Barasti. Got Mark Archer alongside me. We're getting very excited about the return of the IPL. IPL 2019 is underway, Mark.
Yes, it's the first of 56 matches to mark your card with, Tom, but we'll stick with where it is. Who has scored the first run of this year's IPL? Who do you think? Virat Kohli has, of course, because he's opening the batting. He has faced one ball. He's won with it. He's scored one. And Bharti Patel has just hit a four. So into the first over of this match, it's the Royal Challengers Bangalore batting first. Five balls gone. They're five without loss. They're taking on the Chennai Super Kings.
So get ready for 56, what, 56 days worth?
56, yeah, well...
Well, no, because you get multiple games per day, don't you?
You get multiple games.
Like, it goes for about 6 weeks, isn't it?
I think tomorrow for sure, which is a Sunday, is a double header day over there. It goes for probably 6 weeks. 56 matches, then they have a bunch of elimination playoff games and get to some sort of way to get
final. It's a difficult one, though, isn't it, for a lot of those cricket boards? Because it's a bit of a headache for build-up ahead of Cricket World Cup, isn't it? Because you wouldn't have a huge amount of time after the IPL final before.
At least it's a similar form of cricket, right? It's a similar form of short form T20, 50 overs, similar sorts of skill sets.
For individuals, though.
For individuals, but
not
as teams.
For teams.
No, but at the same time, we see Pakistan taking on Australia here this week for the next week, so they'll obviously go into that. And then, you'll finish the IPL in probably early May. First week of May, second week of May. The teams will pretty much almost go straight to the UK for the World Cup, and they'll play some warm-up matches and get some squad stuff going on, but they'll have to go there. So you'd hope that if you're one of the international teams, you'd hope your best players are in the IPL to stay match fit and to keep some form and fitness ahead of that Cricket World
Cup. But then are there certain things like the English Cricket Board? Is that why we're not seeing some of the big stars from the England team playing in this year's IPL, because of preparations ahead of the World Cup?
Well, they're probably just resting guys. I don't think England are playing any particular cricket, but I'm sure the likes of Ben Stokes and some
series against Pakistan and that one off against Ireland, didn't they, ahead of World Cup?
You might be right, but the World Cup gets underway pretty early, so there might be some early. Typically in the English season, and Oasis here to testify to this, the county season usually starts in April. Then the test match or the touring team sort of comes in May, and then they tend to get the tests underway mid-May, usually the way things go. But we're just talking about Oasis. Looking ahead to the Cricket World Cup, which isn't that far away, it'll be underway late May. A lot of the teams, international teams taking part, a lot of the players will be in the IPL, but a lot of teams won't have much time to get their international sort of 50 oversides up and running before for a World Cup.
No, they won't be. I mean, and you're dead right. You know, that's how typically sort of the English summer is sort of planned. It's generally the test matches first, and then as the summer kicks in, the one-day international sort of series kicks in. But this year is going to be different. The guys are going to be having, best part of 6-7 weeks of IPL, and then you know, they might be recalled for your test match, depending who you are. Obviously, Ben Stokes is playing test cricket, so is Jos Buttler for England, Johnny Bairstow, obviously. So those three guys, Moeen Ali, all depends whether he's...
I know he's playing today,
but it all depends whether he's going to be playing or do they go with Adam Rashid and things like that. But those three guys who I mentioned earlier, they're definitely going to be going home. I mean, they have to play the test series and then obviously going to be going to the World Cup. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting way how they're going to get the balance right, because I tell you what, if England don't do well in that World Cup, there'll be a lot of questions asked about the preparation. Yeah. Like they were, you know, as soon as England, you know, the England team don't do well, there's always questions raised about preparation.
And all the talk about teams getting together and getting prepared now. Tom, what you know what this week is the anniversary of?
Go on, tell me.
Well, it's the ball tampering anniversary, isn't it? And who's now eligible to play for Australia again?
They're here, aren't they?
They're here, exactly. They played the match last night in Sharjah. Australia had a pretty comprehensive win. But the reintegration of Steve Smith, the bringing back of David Warner, two massive talking points for the Australian ODI team. And they basically said they're only eligible, I think, to play the last two matches. And I think the Aussie selectors and the management said, well, just go play in the IPL, shows you got some form. But surely there is still enough difference always between T20 cricket and 50-over cricket. There are still slightly different formats in terms of where you pace your batting, the more you have to bowl a lot more overs. Obviously, it's just a different game almost. But it's still quite tough, I think, because 20-over cricket, if your luck's down, you just could have a shocker and not play because you get good balls or you come in at the wrong times of innings. It just can happen so quickly that you're bad. You never know whether you're in form or not in some forms.
Yeah, I mean for sure. I mean, it's a completely different form of the game, and it's not going to be that easy. But the only thing I would say is the fact that it's easier to go from 2020 cricket to go on and play one day international cricket compared to if you're going to do it the other way around. And I'll tell you why. Because the game is so much faster, the 2020 game, and there's pressures on you from, say, ball one, it's all about reacting well under pressure. Now, if you go from a pressured environment to a game which is a little bit slower, you can take your time. It makes life a lot easier. But if you're going to do it the other way around, where if you do play 50-over competition and then go into an IPL competition, does make it a little bit harder because you have to react so much more quicker in that pressurized situation. So that's the only saving grace for Warner and Steve Smith, that they will have the opportunity to play IPL cricket. They will be able to, you know, make decisions under pressure. And then when obviously the country wants them to play the last two one internationals against Pakistan, they should be mentally in a better state of mind because they'll be used to playing in that pressurized situation. That's the only good thing for those two. Playing the IPL before the one-day series.
I'm just crunching the numbers here. So, final of the IPL 2019, May the 19th. Sunday, May the 19th. That's late in May. England's schedule. Here we go. England play Ireland over in Dublin. One-day international on the 3rd of May. And then they've got that Pakistan series. The 5th of May, the 8th of May, and the 11th of May, 14th of May, 17th and 19th. And then, of course, straight into the Cricket World Cup, ICC World Cup, which starts on May the
30th. My birthday.
May the 30th.
Yeah, so I think
South Africa. So you don't have got much time to play around with, have you?
No, you haven't. I mean, just listening to you reading off those fixtures, I'd imagine definitely those four guys that are there, Ali, Bairstow, Stokes, Buttler, they would be going home, surely, to play the Ireland series and then obviously stay on for the Pakistan series. So, I mean, you've got to get some 50-over cricket under your belt leading into, obviously, the World Cup.
And is it a difficult one as well from a management point of view? Yeah, you want your players playing to stay in a bit of form. But at the same time, and we know how many games get played in the IPL, there is the opportunity for one of those gun players to pick up an injury.
There is, but I mean, but that's just how it's going to be. That is life. These guys want the opportunity to play in the IPL. They've come up with contracts, yeah, which allow them to go and, you know, put their names in the hat for the IPL. And they will run the risk of potentially getting injured, but it's up to the individual how they want to manage it.
Interesting the chat about this transition and particularly the Aussie players coming back. Shane Warne had some interesting comments during the week. Firstly, about the Australia players being integrated back into the team, whether he thought it was right, whether he thought they shouldn't come back. He had some interesting, and then he talks also about England being viewed as favourites for the Cricket World Cup. Now, we know England aren't great favourites at best of time, and they've never won a Cricket World Cup either. So they're under plenty of pressure being a banging team. But Shane Warne, always an interesting person to listen to. This is what his thoughts were on both those subjects.
Smith and Warner will be accepted with both open arms. They've played their time. They're not bad people. They just made a bad mistake. You know, made a silly judgment call from the skipper, Steve Smith. He's not a bad guy. He's a good person. He just, as he said, made a mistake. They've paid their penalties, 12 months. If you compare that to every other person that's been done for ball tampering, that's the absolute extreme and more. I think when you have that sort of class like Smith and Warner, they walk straight back in the side. No matter who's doing what or how well everyone else is playing, they walk straight back in the side because they're absolute class. They've proven that over a long period of time. I think they'll be more hungry. I think they'll be more determined. I think they'll be absolutely raring to go. So, you know, I'd love to have them in my side because I think they're going to be very dangerous.
A World Cup in England this summer. How well placed are England to win it, do you think?
Well, I think England going as hot favourites with India. I think England, the way they've played their cricket over the last six to 12 months, the way they're led by Owen Morgan, their style of play, I think is really good. I really love watching them play one-day cricket. So I think, you know, there's so many X-factor players in that side. There's so many match winners, Stokes, Butler. I mean, the list, you can go on and on and on. But, you know, everyone in that side, I think, if they all fire, they're going to be very, very tough to beat. Australia, for me, I wouldn't write them off, and I think they could actually win it because they've played in five of the last six World Cup finals. They're defending champions. They won it the last time it was here in England. They play well in the big tournaments, and they just chase 360 without Smith and Warner in that side. So I wouldn't write Australia off, but I think England and India go in as favourites. Probably Australia fills three of the four spots, and the fourth spot in the World Cup is probably open to anyone. Anyone could literally walk into that fourth spot because everyone can. They're all good sides.
What is it with us sports fans? We just love a prediction, don't we? We absolutely love a prediction. Weeks are away from a tournament and things like that. And yet we all know, whether observers of the game, whether players of the game, that things change over a matter of a couple of weeks. We've just seen it in the Six Nations, haven't we, in the last few months. And cricket teams can build into a tournament. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, that is, you're dead right. And it's all about, in a competition like the World Cup, it's all about peaking at the right time, yeah, regardless if you're start favourites or not. You know, I mean, England have to play very well. I mean, you can go back 12 months ago when England were playing in the Champions Trophy. We were playing really, really well. And then we played this game against Pakistan. I think it was a semi-final in Cardiff on a pitch that was suited to Pakistan, yeah, and we ended up short, and we were out of the competition. And you know, some people were saying, "Well, you've got a very good team," but I do agree with Shane Warne the fact that we do have a very good chance of going on to win the World Cup. We, as in England, because of the fact that we're playing unbelievable cricket. I do believe we're the number one team in the world ranked. I don't think I've ever been seeing a team like the current England one-day team now that I see every single thing is covered. We got wrist spin, we got off spin, you know, we got conventional spin. Sorry, we got fast bowlers, we got some seriously damaging batsmen, Jason Roy, people like that. We've got everything. We just got to go out there and play together and go on to hopefully win that World Cup.
Home advantage will be key as well. It's going to be interesting. First wicket of IPL 2019 has fallen. And we will bring you those details in just a few moments' time. So, wicket time in the IPL 2019. Mark Archer's crunching the numbers for us and having a look at who's taken that wicket and who has fallen. So I think he scored the first run of the tournament. Is he also the first wicket?
Yeah, he's fallen. Virat Kohli, the Indian captain, has been dismissed. I think it was Harbhajan Singh that was bowling. It's a short ball. He's pulled it, and he's pulled it, almost hit it too well. It's gone straight to the fielder at deep mid-wicket. It's been well caught there, and Virat Kohli has been dismissed. Caught Jadeja, bowled Harbhajan for six. He faced 12 deliveries, so a bit slow for Virat getting off the way there. So RCB Royal Challengers Bangalore 16 for 1 after 3.3 overs.
It is the RCB against CSK. That's what's happening at the moment. This is what you can look forward to throughout the evening.
The biggest deal in cricket is on our doorstep yet again. IPL 2019 sees the champions, the defending champions, Chennai Super Kings, take on the Royal Challengers Bangalore in the season opener at the Chepauk in Chennai. MS Dhoni versus Virat Kohli is how it's being built up to be. Of course, there's a lot more on ESPN Cricket for Matchday that we will discuss with Deep Das Gupta and Brad Hodge, who we've taken the trouble of flying down all the way from Australia. Hodgie, good to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Ronak. Good to be here.
Yeah, Deep, always a pleasure. Start of a season, CSK and RCB. There's something about Chennai starting a season that just odds, you know, doom for the rest of the team. We've seen videos.
Especially
of MS
for you.
Dhoni. Yeah, I predicted they'll finish bottom last season. Here we are, fresh new season. Let's leave all the baggage behind, shall we? We've seen a video of MS Dhoni come out to train with 30,000 fans in them. Chennai would be up for this, Hodgie.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, to see those videos of MSD walking out to bat, not even on game day, was just incredible. I mean, that's the impact, you know, that he has. It's just a phenomenal stature in cricket.
And that's the 12th man at Chennai, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The rest of the team.
I think the connect with fans and team, nobody has better than CSK, it seems. I mean, the connect that they have with the fans and all the stuff that they do there, it's phenomenal. So, yeah, it's good to see CSK back in Chennai and playing at home. Hopefully, they'll play the whole tournament, the home games at least in Chennai.
Yeah, we hope. We hope that CSK's fans will get to see their team play on home turf for the entirety of this season. Some teams you might take a little while to get familiar to. You don't have that problem with CSK. Essentially, it's the same bunch of old boys that played last year that'll play this year. One of the not-so-old boys missing is Lungi Ngidi. Just have a look at the head-to-head between these two teams before we move to the playing 11s from Brad and Deep. And overall, 22 matches, 14-7 to Chennai. And at Chepauk, it looks like Chennai 6 and RCB just 1. I think that one goes a long time back because since 2014, it's been 6 out of 6. So this South Indian Derby is not quite evenly contested as we would think. So they certainly have the wood over RCB, do CSK. How does that affect Brad Hodges playing 11 for Chennai if he has to pick this team? Let's have a look at Hodges 11. We've already mentioned Noah Ngidi in this tournament. David Willey hasn't arrived. It's a very familiar looking team. Shane Watson's coming in the back of a great PSL, Hodgie. You got Raidu, Raina. You've played Faf du Plessis, so you've played both the guys that took them through towards the end in the playoffs last season. And you've got room for just Bravo and the leg spinner Imran Tahir. Thoughts on that team?
Yeah, well, I think it's a strong side, isn't it? And going in with the champions, I just thought I'd back those that did the role last year. They've got a good, strong top order, got good depth in the middle. And I think with Kidar Jetta back in that side, really opens up that spin department as well. So with that flexibility, with Ngidi out, brought in Imran Tahir to do a bulk of the spin work. But they've got variety. I mean, it really does suit that stadium very well.
Looking at that team, Faf at 4, would you go with that batting order? Would you put Faf and Watson up top? Jump Raidu and Raina at 3-4? How would you go about it?
I just wanted to see Raidu up the top. I just think that he's primed for a really good IPL after what's just happened in the one-day series. And I think he'll be itching to get out there and show his skills and show the selectors what he's about leading up to World Cup selection.
Right. I'm more curious to see your 11 for the RCB, Deep, because this would be an interesting choice up and down. Now, you've gone for Moeen Ali. That's an interesting opening partner for Parthiv Patel with Kohli 3, De Villiers 4. I'm assuming that's your batting order. There's, of course, room for Shimran Hatmai, who they got for decent money at the auction. Colin de Grandem, who did a role for them with bat and ball through the course of last season. Shivam Dubey, the Mumbai all-rounder. Pawan Negi with some left-arm spin. Umesh Yadav and Navdeep Saini, the Indian seamers. And of course, Yuzvendra Chahal pretty much selects himself. So in that team, for you, there's no room for Tim Southee. And we believe Nathan Coulter-Nile is not yet with the team.
Yeah, Nathan Coulter-Nile is not there. Stoinis is not there. I think Stoinis would walk into that side in place of Shimran Hetmeyer. But looking at that side, my biggest scare as far as RCB is concerned, the middle order is all overseas. Mm-hmm. And especially in Chennai, where the ball does turn a bit. It's got to be, I mean, ABD and Virat has to play a very important role there. And that's the reason, one of the reasons why I want Virat to bat at number 3 and get someone like Moeen Ali. He can hold his ground as a bowler. He's a 4-over bowler for me, as far as I'm concerned, and also a proper top-order batsman.
4-over bowler at Chepauk.
At Chepauk, yes. Maybe not at Chinnaswamy.
Oh, it's a fabulous go.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, we're up and running in the world of cricket. IPL 2019 is upon us, and we would love to get your thoughts. Do text them through to us on 4001. Mark Archer, person in the picture.
Yeah, RCB taking on CSK. I can tell you that it's 28-1. Royal Challengers Bangalore batting first. Virat Kohli is the man dismissed for 6. Moeen Ali, 9 not out. He blocked his first 2 deliveries, then smoked a drop kick into the stand for 6. Got him going. Parth is 11 not out. So Harbhajan's bowling. He's got 1 for 13 off his 2 overs. RCB 28-1. After 5 of their 20 overs.
We're watching this one with Oeh Shah, who is here with us on the rooftop garden down here at Barasti. Oeh Shah played in 5 seasons of the IPL during his career. I mean, in terms of conditions over there in the IPL, RCB being put into bat, so CSK winning the toss and choosing to field, is that a sort of given over there in the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, yes. It's the fact that you normally get a very dry surface in Chennai. It generally spins. But if anything, it gets sort of tougher, I would say, to bat as the game progresses. Maybe perhaps they've sort of took into account that it might have a due factor in and the ball might skid on to the bat second innings. And that's the only reason I can imagine why they have decided to bowl first Chennai and chase down the score.
And there's been a second wicket as well. Moeen Ali's just been dismissed. Caught and bowled Harbhajan Singh. It was a short back of a length ball. It's just held up in the surface a touch. He's got through a shot too early. He's basically taken the leading edge. It's looped back in the air to Harbhajan Singh. So Moeen Ali has made 9 off his 8 deliveries. RCB 28-2.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to be a low scoring game this. The ball doesn't seem to be coming on and sitting into the pitch. So I think the secret for RCB here is to get maybe try and not go for like the big 200, 180. If they can get somewhere like 160, 170 even, I reckon that could well be a winning score on here.
One of the schools as a batsman is trying to identify what is a par score now, isn't it? Always going and saying we don't need to try and get 180, 200 because we'll end up getting bowled out for 80 and not being in the match. So it's saying we need to reset the target, read the pitch, read the circumstances and then adapt accordingly. One man that can do that.
They're into the tail now, aren't they?
AB de Villiers.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's exactly that. And if you heard Stephen Fleming speak earlier in the program, you know, he speaks about experience. You know, they are a quite experienced team. And that's exactly that. Experience means that can you read the wicket very quickly? Within an over, can you read a wicket and adapt your game accordingly? And that's exactly why this team has done so well, because they've got a lot of experience and they can adapt to any wicket possible. And obviously back in their backyard in Madras, they're a tough team to beat.
Cricket fans well catered for this evening with the IPL, the return of the IPL. Rugby fans have also got lots to look forward to. In fact, top 14 fans can indulge themselves already. Lyon are taking on Toulon as we speak at the moment. It's the visitors who lead that one, 23 points to 16. A little later on, Stade Francais taking on Castres. Pau at home to Montpellier. Perpignan against Grenoble. Agen against Clermont Auvergne. Still a couple of games left in the Super Rugby today as well, Mark.
Yeah,
Archer.
Almost full time in the first kickoff in South Africa. And it's the touring team, the Chiefs from New Zealand, are going to have a big win here against the Bulls in Pretoria. It's just gone full time, 56 points to 20. They've scored 7 tries to 2 for the ball for the Chiefs. So a big win for the team from New Zealand. Their late kickoff is in Durban at the Shark Tank, where the home team, the Sharks, will face the Melbourne Rebels. Results from early today in Super Rugby: we saw wins for the Waratahs against the Crusaders, and a win for the Hurricanes against the Stormers.
Quickly, a line before we leave you today, because obviously you're listening, we're going to sign off around about 7 o'clock. LeBron James, quick word on him as well, because a bit of history made earlier on today, or I'd say recent history. LeBron James will not be in the NBA final playoffs for the very first time since 2005. Lakers were mathematically eliminated from their playoff race following their defeat by the Nets on Friday night. Is this a sign of the times?
Sign of the times. I mean, what you got to put in perspective here is LeBron James has played all his career in the Eastern Conference. He's played with the Cleveland Cavaliers, where he was drafted. He then went to the Miami Heat, where he played a number of seasons and winning seasons, and he went back to Cleveland. it's a much, traditionally it's been a much weaker division, but they always just say wherever LeBron James went, he would take his team to the playoffs. It was just almost done for dusted. But he struggled this season. He's had some injuries, probably missed a dozen or so, 15 games with a groin strain, and his team just haven't been good enough. They haven't been able to find another big all-star to complement LeBron James. Look for some big changes in LA in the offseason. Probably a new coach there, Luke Walton, might go. They need to find a big all-star. Who's available? There are some big names coming on the market there. Let's wait and see whether Anthony Davis goes there. Let's wait and see if Kawhi Leonard might go there. But that's the big news. But LeBron James, and he's getting older as well. He's 33 years old, and he's played a lot of minutes. He's carried some teams on his very broad shoulders, but he is getting towards, I guess, an athletic decline is probably the best way to say it. So big blow for LeBron James. You know what, though? He'll get a nice long summer off now. He'll be able to go and recuperate and come back bigger, stronger, faster next year.
Big thanks to all of you for tuning in. Do enjoy IPL 2019. Enjoy your rugby. And, of course, those European qualifiers, which are also getting underway as we speak at the moment. Georgia against Switzerland has just kicked off, is into halftime. No goals to report on that one. Republic of Ireland taking on Gibraltar is going to be one of the fantasy games, that one at 9 o'clock. Mark Archer, thanks very much indeed. Enjoy your IPL, Philip.
Thank you, Thomas. I'll be with Chris McCarty tomorrow night. Having a chat with him. So we'll be breaking down live IPL.
Does Robbie do anything these days?
He's gone skiing. He's off another holiday.
That's a gig you want, Tom.
Tell me about it, you know. Slogging away up here, you know, taking one for the team in the sand with you two and everything, and he's off skiing.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, thanks so much indeed for joining us as well. I know you got off one flight, back on another flight as well, so really kind of you to come on down. Safe travels for you, fella.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Off to Bangalore tonight. And I'll be back in Dubai in a couple of days.
Looking forward to that.
Thanks
for
having me.
We will be having more from Royce in the build-up ahead of the Cricket World Cup and much, much more. So if people want to get in touch with you, Ace, and all you're doing over here in terms of your coaching, in terms of going into companies and seeing how you can help better for their performances as well, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I've got my website, acecricketlimited.com. I've done some motivational speaking out here, spoke at some banks, some corporate stuff. So I'm just doing a bit of that. Please get in touch. I've got them on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, ace_shah203. Yeah, please get in touch.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.